I'm very happy now to welcome Marcela Diaz. She's executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. We really appreciate you having us on every year.
Well, every year. It wouldn't be the New Mexico legislature if Somos Un Pueblo Unido weren't here.
Sadly.
this is the nature of progress in the world, is that people organize and they get things done, and then people try to shoot them down, and real debates happen and silly debates happen, and it goes on and on. We're talking this year, once again, among other things, we're talking about driver's licenses. In 2003, Somos was instrumental in getting a bill passed that basically allowed immigrants to have driver's licenses.
That's right. This is a 10-year-old law that has worked for the state of New Mexico. And frankly, our main message this year is that the verdict is in. Licensing immigrant drivers is good public policy, and that's why 8 other states plus Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. have followed our lead and have passed laws similar to New Mexico in 2003 alone.
And there had been some laws, and then there was kind of a backlash after 9/11, and now the trend is pretty clear.
That's right. And these states have passed these laws with broad support from Democrats, Republicans, and law enforcement agencies, among many other community-based groups and faith organizations like the ones who support driver's licenses here in New Mexico. Those states were experiencing considerable public safety problems as a result of such a high number of unlicensed drivers. I think that these states cover more than a third of undocumented immigrants now in our country, licensing them, because the states have such big populations like California and Colorado and Illinois. And so the verdict is in. It's good for public safety. And we've, of course, known that all along.
And that's the argument that you've been making. And you've had many law enforcement people on your side, although some of them haven't always wanted to come out and say it publicly, but privately they will say it helps us a lot to have people, for example, in our database.
Well, the other day I was looking up driver's licenses New Mexico on YouTube, and I came upon a video of our representative Brian Egolf here in Santa Fe talking to a group about driver's licenses, and this was a year and a half ago. And he talked about how, you know, at least two state police officers who were uniformed came into his office, closed the door, and said, "Please don't ever use my name. Please don't ever say I did this. But please don't let them repeal this law. This is good for us. It's good for officer safety." And they, you know, they basically told him what we've always known, and which is why law enforcement in our state back in 2003 supported this law. Now, of course, officially, the state police department does not support driver's licenses now, and that's not a surprise. Obviously, they're directly under the governor. But that doesn't mean that we don't have law enforcement support, and that we haven't gotten law enforcement support for these driver's license laws across the country.
So if the verdict is in, and other states like California, Illinois, and so on are passing driver's license laws based on the New Mexico law, we've got a law to be proud of. Why is Governor Martinez continually trying to repeal it?
Well, I think it was a surprise to a lot of people. It wasn't a surprise to us that she put this back on her call during a budget session. But it was a surprise to lots of other people. And I mean, I won't speak for the governor as to why she's doing it. We know that this is a good fundraising tool for her PAC and for her reelection campaign. But when it really comes down to it, New Mexico is in crisis. And we have seen poll after poll show that the problems of job creation, and I mean, we're 50th in job creation, we're 50th in measures of child well-being, and the polls show that these are really what voters care about. And yet the governor keeps resuscitating what we think, and what I think most New Mexicans think is a dead issue. So we're encouraging legislators, and I think that this is what we're getting from legislators now, is that they should definitely resist falling into this trap and stand firmly against these repeal bills and focus instead on the real problems of our state.
I've noticed in past years that it takes a lot of time and energy that, in theory, could be going to other things in the legislative session.
That's right. And it's such a short session. I mean, the first week has already gone by with no consideration of any bills. And so we're talking about really 3 solid weeks left to deal with the terrible problems that our state is experiencing in its economy, in its child welfare system, in education, and so, and obviously dealing with issues of our state budget. And so I think that that's really what we've been hearing, but that doesn't mean that we can let up. I mean, we definitely have to push back. It's never a done deal. We're having an Immigrant Day of Action where we bring immigrant families from all over the state, from 11 different counties, to come and talk directly to their legislators and basically tell them, look, this issue is dead and gone. Everyone knows that we're using licenses to drive, to get insured, to register our vehicles. We are also a part of this community, and we want you, legislators, to deal with the issues that are also important to our community. Because these problems in New Mexico aren't just affecting people who were born here, they're also affecting the immigrant community, and we feel like we're a part of the solution.
One of the things that I think hasn't fully been understood, even though we've had hundreds of years of immigration in the United States of America, is what immigrants contribute to the community. The other day I was among what I thought was a group of very nice people, and this woman who seemed to be a local New Mexican woman started railing about illegals and how the healthcare system is broken because of illegals. And I didn't want to kind of step in and do an intervention because it was very awkward, but that conversation I think is really important, is the contribution of immigrants from the 1750s to the present.
That's right. And I think that that's a story that doesn't get out there very much. New Mexico, I like to remind folks, is 10% foreign-born, 10% immigrant. And that's just the folks that moved here from another country. We know that we're in mixed families and that many of us have U.S. citizen children who were born here. I mean, our community is bigger than that. Although we make up 1 in 10 New Mexicans, we make up an even bigger portion of the workforce, especially about 13%, especially in the agricultural, service, construction, home health care, and oil and gas industries. And we have a lot of members who are agricultural workers and oil and gas workers. And I think that's a story that doesn't often get told. Obviously, the oil and gas industry is one of the most important revenue generators for our state. I think it's important for people to know that, especially during a budget session. And when you go out to those fields, you're going to see a lot of Mexican and Central American workers, mostly Mexican, and they, are sort of driving the sputtering economic engine of the state. And yet that in those areas is where you have a lot of representatives and senators actively voting against keeping driver's licenses and other benefits for immigrants who are working in that industry. Immigrants also make up 12.6% of small business owners in New Mexico. A lot of folks don't know that. And issuing driver's licenses to these workers benefit New Mexico's sort of bigger industries as well as immigrant entrepreneurship. And so that's a story that we're really going to be lifting up on Wednesday or tomorrow in our Immigrant Day of Action.
So the Immigrant Day of Action is tomorrow, Wednesday, at the Roundhouse.
Yes. So we bring folks in from all over the state. We do a legislative advocacy training in the morning, help people become comfortable with the process, understand, how a bill becomes a law, or in our case, how a bill hopefully doesn't become the law. And we'll have other folks who are talking about other issues like early childhood education, minimum wage, other issues that are also important to our community. So folks kind of know sort of what things are being proposed to actually move our state forward as opposed to backwards. And then we go over to we're doing that at a Museo Cultural at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll walk over to the legislature, meet with our legislators, and then we'll have our press event at 12:45 on the West Concourse. So we invite folks to participate in any of that. And we usually have a very lively crowd. And this year we have a lot of folks coming from the southeastern part of the state to talk about how they also are a part of this economy and are helping generate tax revenues for our state.
Well, that's the other thing that I think really some people miss, is that so many people who are immigrant workers are paying taxes.
That's right. It's not just our work and our entrepreneurship, but not only through gross receipts taxes, but we pay income taxes. A lot of folks don't know that the federal government, the IRS, will give an ITIN, an individual tax identification number, to folks who are ineligible for Social Security numbers through which they can report their income and pay their taxes. And millions of these ITINs have been emitted to undocumented immigrants since the mid-90s. And in fact, our driver's license law, one of the requirements is to have an ITIN, which means that you're in the system paying taxes. And so this is not something that we would want to take away. And we certainly wouldn't want to send the message to immigrant families that they should stop doing this.
So you are the executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, and year after year we've had you on talking, especially in the Martinez administration, about the driver's license law and the attempts at repeal, which so far haven't worked. What else is Somos Un Pueblo Unido doing besides defending this law?
Well, we here in Santa Fe, for your Santa Fe listeners, opened up in 2012 a worker center, New Mexico's first and only worker center, where we provide support and organizing opportunities to workers who are having problems in the workplace. And so we form workers committees and are able to change. I mean, these are not the things that are going to make big headlines in the news, but, you know, a lot of our workers committees have been able to collectively create strategies to change little things in their workplace that make it a better place to work. And, you know, getting a lunch break, getting other breaks, ending sexual harassment, getting equipment to promote health and public safety on the job. These are examples of some of the things that our workers' committees have been able to accomplish here in Santa Fe. We also have a very big anti-wage theft campaign, are part of a task force that the Attorney General has put together and are supporting anti-wage theft measures at the Capitol. We've moved forward our own anti-wage theft measures that have helped expedite, provide more protections to workers who are victims of wage theft, not just for immigrant workers, by the way, but for all workers, because, you know, there's a sizable... We've talked about this on your show.
Health and safety.
That
breaks.
Affects everyone. Yeah. And so that's an ongoing program that we have. We do have a staff attorney at Somos as well that works with wage theft victims and will help us take those issues to court and help recuperate. I mean, we've probably helped workers in the last 5 to 7 years recuperate close to $1 million in stolen wages, back pay, penalties, settlements. And so and we do that both through our attorney and also just through good old-fashioned organizing and doing administrative complaints. So we've got a really solid workers' rights program, and we invite, as always, all workers, regardless if they're immigrants or not, to come and get information about their rights and see what they can do. Right now, our members have really been working very hard to help low-wage workers be a part of this living wage movement. You know, Somos and our workers' committee has been an integral part of raising Santa Fe's minimum wage and making sure that people are actually getting paid that minimum wage, which is always tricky, right? You can pass a law, but if you're not implementing it and you're not making sure that employers are following the rules and that workers know what their rights are, then it's not really working, right? We're trying to make that law work for everyone. So our members collected 2,000 petitions directly from mostly immigrant low-wage workers to help raise the minimum wage in the county. And so that's something that you're probably going to be hearing about, hopefully more on your show as we move forward. I know that there's a hearing tonight, Tuesday, at the county commission at 6:00 about that issue. So our members will be there working with our labor partners and trying to move that forward. Most people don't know, Mary Charlotte, that we're a statewide organization. We organize in 11 counties in New Mexico. And so I often tell people, you know, in order for us to get all of these state laws either passed or defend these state laws, we can't just be organizing immigrant families and allies in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Las Cruces. We have to do it around the state, because when it comes down to it, you're counting your votes, right? And so we have to have our members develop these relationships with their legislators in their local communities.
And you bring people from all over the state. I never forget the story. I think you told about a legislator who had never had a constituent visit before during the legislative session, and it was somebody who was from Somos Un Pueblo Unido talking about licenses.
Right. People are, you know, particularly in sort of, you know, in the southeastern part of the state, or, you know, folks are legislators are used to dealing with their constituents in their communities, but it's kind of a long drive for folks to come up to Santa Fe. And so we often have folks from their districts come to hearings. So they, when they vote in many cases against us, they have to, you know, from the southeastern part of the state, they have to see the people that they're going to affect. And even if they're not going to vote for us, we always say, you know, it in many ways tempers their language. I mean, I have been at committee hearings where people have said some of the most insulting things to our communities, and it's a little bit more difficult for them to say terrible, insulting things. They still vote against us, but it's important.
To your face.
To our faces, yeah. And so I think that it's an important part of democracy, giving everyone who is in our community and who pays taxes and who contributes to our workforce have access to their legislators, whether they're supportive or not. And we're going to tell our stories no matter what. So we have these 11 counties. We're very excited to report that we are opening up an office in Roswell. It's going to be our second office, in part because some of our most active members are in the southeastern part of the state. We have a group called Somos Clovis, Somos Portales, Somos Lee County. We work with members in Chavez County. So these are the communities where we're really sort of pushing back against Congressman Pierce, who has not supported citizenship and comprehensive immigration reform for undocumented immigrants. So our members have spent 6 months organizing protest vigils. I was just doing a report this weekend for one of our funders, and we were counting up all of our actions. And in 2013 alone, our members organized throughout the state about 40 actions with hundreds of people participating, whether it's crashing a town hall, a vigil, a community meeting with legislator, a caravan that we did in the fall, where folks from 11 counties descended upon Hobbs, New Mexico, which is the hometown of Congressman Pierce, and saying, look, you made your money from the oil and gas industry. This is an important part of your district, as is agriculture. Here we are. These are the folks who have lived here for years with our children, and you don't support allowing us the certainty of having a path to citizenship in your community. So, you know, we're really organizing in all of these places and really helping lift up the story of our families.
Marcela Diaz is executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido. They are on the web at somosunpueblounido.org, and I will link to that on my website, santafe.radiocafe.org. Marcela, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and don't forget tomorrow at 9 o'clock, El Museo Cultural Immigrant Day of Action.
That's right. And if you want to just come to at lunchtime to our press event at 12:45, we would love to see you. It'll be amazing. We've got members bringing 100 hard hats signed by oil workers from the southeastern part of the state. We have agricultural families coming from the southeastern part, as well as Santa Fe and all of these others. I don't want to leave everyone else out. But it's we want to tell the true story of our communities. And so to do that, we need everyone's help.
And that's at the Roundhouse.
That's right, on the West Concourse.
Marcela, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.